At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
It's the Pat Kenny Show. It's Anton in for Pat. People buy electric cars for a whole range of reasons, but some is because of the impact or lack of it that those cars have on the environment. But just how green are EVs? Joining me now to discuss is Conor Faughnan, transport consultant and president of the Royal Irish Automobile Club. This is one of the sort of the hardy perennials, Conor,
which is
if you have to dig up lithium, if you have to ship it around the world, by the time the thing gets built, it's already pretty filthy.
Yeah, dead right. And if you have to exploit a subsistence farmer in the Congo or Zimbabwe at the bottom end of the food chain and get all the way to a shiny showroom in Dublin at the other end where an electric SUV that's 40% bigger than it should be is presented to the public with razzmatazz and announced as green. So there's a fair bit of kind of spoofing and nonsense around the edge of it. But the summary is an electric vehicle is still considerably greener than its internal combustion engine equivalent when you look at the whole life of the vehicle, particularly for greenhouse gas emissions, which is the single biggest enemy that we have at the moment in terms of climate change. Now, it's obviously not good to be doing devastating damage to agricultural land, stripping it for lithium, but it's not specifically the CO2 problem or the greenhouse gas emissions problem. But the other thing is that the manufacturers greenwash these in all sorts of ways. I mean, Volkswagen, for example, have come up with this formula whereby they'll talk about how much sustainable electricity is used in their factories, how much recycled steel is used in the car, to what extent the car will run on sustainable electricity. And then they plant a few trees as well for offsetting, and they can announce that their car is carbon neutral. Whereas Polestar from the Volvo brand, they did a study a couple of years ago and they reckoned that a brand new electric vehicle has to get above 50,000 kilometres on the road before it actually starts to gain on its internal combustion engine equivalent. So what to do? And look, it would be good if we could stop exploiting people in sub-Saharan Africa and stripping the land for lithium. But by and large, it is still definitely better in terms of the climate challenge to have an electric vehicle rather than an internal combustion engine.
Two big challenges for consumers. One is that electric vehicle means a broad spectrum of stuff, from tiny direct plug-in electric to hybrids to big giant SUVs.
Yeah.
And the availability of comparable information on actual environmental impact is very difficult to get.
Yeah, the actual environmental impact is very difficult to assess because, as I say, you can cherry pick data, you can emphasize one fact over another. And there's actually, good work has been done by people like Science Foundation Ireland and others on how greenwashing is presented to us. We're used to this. I mean, back in the day, cars manufacturers used to boast about miles per gallon figures for fuel consumption that absolutely everybody knew were nonsense. So sprinkle your own pinch of salt on it. But as I say, nevertheless, even allowing for exaggeration, the move to electric vehicles is definitely a huge improvement. And here in our Western cities, removed from the exploitation elsewhere in the food chain, they are at least, or have the potential to be, 100% sustainable and 100% zero emission and clean at point of use.
Which, of course, is predicated on the power that they get and how clean that is.
Yeah, I mean, I've said before that a turf-powered Tesla, in the grand scheme of things, isn't much use to us. But if you can produce the electricity sustainably, then all of the carbon that you're producing happens when you manufacture the car, and I guess maybe when you manufacture the wind turbine as well. But once you've done it, the thing can run sustainably and at a zero emission. So that has clearly got to be the future. So when Big Oil, which is historically, about as honest and charming as Big Auto, when they do their greenwashing, they will, look at the same data and come up with an algorithm that tells you we should be digging out more oil. We shouldn't, because oil and fossil fuels will never be clean, will never be renewable. The electric vehicle technology still has imperfections, and it's a pity that this is yet another century in which we seem to be determined to exploit the poorest people on the planet, but it does have the potential to be completely emission-free and sustainable, and oil will never have that.
When you talk about the future and predictions of what the future might look like, we still don't, as I understand it, have a clear sense of whether it is going to be hybrid, whether it is going to be fully electric. We see a lot of brands betting on fully electric, a la Volvo. Mm. But the biggest on the planet, or at least one of the very biggest, Toyota, still saying, nope, hybrid is our best option.
Yeah, but Toyota are actually kind of the outlier, because you've got others like Volkswagen Group is investing something like $4 billion per annum for 7 or 8 years. That's like a moonshot amount of R&D money that is going specifically into electric vehicles. Tesla began it, of course, and I think, you know, once Tesla's activities persuaded big car globally to pivot towards electric vehicles, that's where R&D money is going. And we're already hearing about things like solid-state lithium batteries with 1,000-kilometre ranges. And look how quickly smartphone technology moved. So I'm not quite sure what the technological breakthroughs will be, but with the amount of money being invested in it, I am convinced that they will come. So I think fully electric is probably the drivetrain of the future, even though people talk about hydrogen still and various other bits and pieces. But I think petrol and diesel will have a very, very long tail. But most of us civilians will be in battery EVs, foreseeably.
A couple of quick questions. Should I continue to drive my 141 diesel Golf until it dies, or get a secondhand newer car?
Well, the planet's answer to that is absolutely. If you've got a diesel engine that has already been built, and then the most sustainable thing for us all to do is to use that car not only until it dies, but to keep it going Mad Max style on the road for as long as you possibly can. And then when you change to a brand new a battery electric vehicle. I'm doing something similar myself. I have a thoroughly bulletproof 10-year-old diesel car. And while it gives me no problems, I'll give it no problems. And that'll do for the time being.
Could you ask Connor, if I have a diesel car and I'm using HVO, how does this differ to driving electric? Is that clean?
Well, it doesn't. I was going to say it doesn't differ at all from driving diesel. So it just is essentially a diesel car. But of course, it's using vegetable oil, so that's renewable. So the carbon that you emit from your tailpipe has actually been sequestered into the plants when the oil was grown. So it's circular. So from that point of view, it's a very good solution emissions wise. Is it a better solution than a battery EV? Well, do you know what? There's a tail in that too. 20 years ago, the European Union went all in on biofuels. Biofuels are the future. What happened? They actually distorted world food markets. There were, you know, in South America, people were cutting down rainforests to grow biofuels for the EU. So all of these things, it's like pushing down a bubble on the wallpaper. There's no perfect answer. All of these things have consequences downstream.
Final one, text to say, what about hydrogen? There are 100 refueling stations across Europe. Why is there no discussion on hydrogen?
Because it's very difficult to transport and store, but it is making a bit of a comeback, and it might make a comeback for heavier vehicles. It's also one of the easiest ways to store energy, because if you've got wind going like the clappers 24/7 and you don't need the energy at night, well, you know, as you learnt in Intercert, pass the current through water, you wind up with hydrogen and oxygen, recombine the fuel and you get heat. So it may have potential. I think it might have potential for heavy vehicles, but in the sort of Betamax versus VHS global conversation, it's probably going to lose out to battery electric vehicles.
Connor, thank you very much. That's Connor Faulkner, transport consultant and president of the RIA.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.